Last night around 3 o'clock or this morning at 3 o'clock, I woke up and I've been looking forward to coming here ever since. And I woke my wife up. No, just kidding. I didn't want to be alone either. But anyway, she was up too. She actually did wake up around the same time. And we've been thinking about coming, and actually our hearts have been on God's Word and being here thinking about God's Word today. We're going to read a little bit more. It's 41 verses for this chapter. And I'm grateful for Brendan giving us a good start to these verses. It's chapter 9 of John, and so I'm going to continue on and read, and I'd ask you to just pay attention, real attention, and read along with me as we consider God's word for us today. From verse 8, the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" And some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes open?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He's a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. And therefore his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." For the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." And he answered, "Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." And they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." And the man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And they answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." Very powerful scripture, very powerful story for us to consider today that God has brought before us. In the beginning of this chapter, for the first 7 verses, we hear an amazing thing that has taken place. A man who was blind from birth is seen by Jesus as he passes by, and his disciples ask him a question, right? "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus says, "Neither. It's not about sin, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." The works of God might be displayed in him. And it has nothing to do with sin in his life or the parents' life. It has to do with God working something through him. So right away, this sets the tone for us that we're going to learn something that is going to be done through this man. And Jesus points out that he is the light of the world. Remember last week we were talking about that with the children, the children's message. "I am the light of the world." That was the previous chapter, chapter 8. And Jesus is now speaking again of this, and he's saying, "I am the light of the world, I am the light of the world." And then he says these things, he spits on the ground, and he made mud with the saliva. This is actually going to come into the thinking of the Pharisees later on. And they're going to bring this into question. He anoints the man's eyes with the mud, and he says to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now this whole thing that Jesus has done is very, very strange to us, and it's very hard to explain for many people. The idea here from what we can understand is that Jesus was showing his authority over things that were seen as impure, and even took the impurities and he took those and he used them for good and brought this out into the man so that he could see. He took saliva and he took this dirt and put them together and rubbed it on the eyes of the man. The man went to this pool to be cleansed, and this pool was called sent, and Jesus was sent into the world. And so there are all these images and meanings going on within these few verses here that are very interesting for us to pay attention to. But something is going on here. Now, I don't know about you, but I would think after that happened that the next verses would say, "And the man was seen by everybody around, and they said, 'Look what happened! That guy that's always sitting there and begging for money can see now. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that powerful? Isn't that amazing?'" Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. We don't even know his name. He's just this man who was a beggar. And now he can see. And they go up to him, and all of a sudden everybody starts to ask questions. And so in 7 verses, John tells the story of what happened. And from verse 8 all the way through 34, all we get are questions. 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 Who? What? How? Why? Who did this to you? You know? I mean, you would think that the guy committed a crime by the reaction, right? Who did this to you? When was it done? Let's take a look and see what's going on here. Right? The neighbors were even like, "Daddy is the same person." They were like, "Nah, that's not him. It's just someone who looks like him." And he goes, "I told you, it's me. It's me. I told you, I'm the man that was there. It's me." Over and over again, he's telling these people these kind of things. Amazing kind of scene that is developing here. And he tells them how it happens. He tells them exactly what happened, exactly what Jesus is explained to have done in the first 7 verses. He said, "The man, known as Jesus, came and he put this mud on my eyes and he told me to go down and to wash it out in the pool of Siloam, and I did that and I can see now." Right? And so what did they do? They say to him, "Where is he?" He says, "I don't know. I don't know where Jesus went." So Jesus is no longer around.
So what happens next? From the next verses, verses 13 through 17, they take him to the Pharisees because they want to see what they have to say about this. Is this what do you think of this occurrence? This person who was blind from birth is now seeing. And this man, he says, named Jesus, this guy was there named Jesus, and he did this. And so he goes to the Pharisees, and they start to give him this interrogation. They start to ask him all these questions. Who was he? What did he do? All these different things. And then they said, this man is not from God, but he does not keep the Sabbath. And so they're making a point, instead of reacting and saying, this is a fantastic thing, let's go and see this Jesus and how he was able to do these things, and they say he broke the law by doing this. Right? The Sabbath was broken perhaps by the fact that Jesus worked by rolling some saliva in mud, in dirt, to make the mixture that he put on the man's eyes, and they consider that against the Sabbath. Perhaps it was the fact that he healed on the Sabbath, and they felt that unless a person's life was in danger, according to the law, that they would have to wait until the day after the Sabbath to heal someone. Do you follow the things that are going on here? Do you follow the things that are going on here? And so, others said, how can a man who's a sinner do such signs? And so there was a division even beyond between the Pharisees. Right? And they're arguing and things like that. And they say to the blind man, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. So first he said, the man Jesus. Now he says, after some prodding and after some more questioning, he says he's a prophet. So Jesus in his eyes is becoming more important as he goes along. But the Jews did not believe that he had been blind. And so now they're even going to question that he was blind from birth. And so they go to his parents. And they become the victims of an interrogation. Can you tell us that he was blind from birth? Can you tell us, is this true? And they said, yes, we can tell you that he was blind from birth and this is our son. But we don't know much more than that. You're going to have to ask him. He's of age. You can go and ask him how it all went down. And so they go back to this man a second time, and they ask him again, another round of interrogation. Right? And the next verse is on. 24. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. In other words, come on, admit to it before God. You know that this man is a sinner. He has broken the law. He can't be from God. He could not have been from God and done something like this, ignoring the fact that the man can see. And that's when it really gets interesting with this guy. He's hiding up. He says, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And so he's very real talking to them. And they said to him, what did he do to you? And how did he open your eyes? You can imagine them being very forceful with this man. And he says to them, I told you already, and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? And then very, very sarcastically, he says, do you want to become one of his disciples? I mean, really, you know, it's an amazing thing when we're thinking that this is an ancient document, that it was written at the time, and it's an account of something that happened so long ago, and it could have been just today. The way that it's written, it's incredible, the power of the irony and the things that are going on here. And they, of course, are not happy to hear something like that, and they revile him, and they say, you're his disciple, we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. And then it gets even more interesting. The man says, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they said, you are born in utter sin, and you're going to teach us, and they throw him out. They throw him out of the synagogue. Now, I was thinking about this this morning. A man is begging all of his life. He can't see. In the very beginning of his life, he was born that way, and he's always begging for money. And now he can see, and this is what he sees. This is what he sees. He's been begging, thinking my life is ruined because I'm blind, I have a day for all these different things. And you can imagine, I wish I were a part of that synagogue, man. I wish that I could be a part of what's going on in there. I wish that I could be exposed to the great things and the wonderful things that they speak about in God's Word. And what do they get in return? What does he get in return for his sight? He gets introduced to the world. He gets introduced to disappointment in people and that they are actually rejecting God and standing on their own pride so that they do not have to admit that Jesus Christ is Messiah. And that's his first introduction to it. Man, that speaks volumes, doesn't it? Right? For our own selves, right? And this is what God's Word is trying to do. It stirs up within us a sense that we're not just reading a story about another time and place and something that people go through, but it is really here and now. Right? What is it that we do? How do we represent Christ? How do we represent Jesus? How do people who know Jesus act? Right? It gives us a good dose of humbleness because we see ourselves in this picture here. They cast him out. A man who is dying to be there. Who is wishing all of his life, and I want to have sight. And they cast him away. And you know what happens next? Jesus hears about it and he goes, praise God. Praise God. He's cast out by the so-called leaders, and he goes away, and Jesus finds him. Talk about being alone now, right? He's all alone, and he's been healed of this blindness. And there he is, this person who's been turned away. But he knows much better than those people, and he knows, and he's faced them with the truth. How could you not think it could be God that has done something so powerful like this? Wow, I can't believe it. And you're the people that are the ones that are teaching everyone. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Can you imagine that scene where he's thrown away by these people that are supposed to be so honorable, so great in the temple and in the synagogue, and they cast him away, and there he is all by himself, and the Son of God comes to him in that moment of being alone. And he finds him, and he looks up, and there's someone who is asking a question he wants to answer. Who is he that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you've seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And what does he say? Lord, I believe. I believe. And he worships him, falls down before him, and worships him. And this is what we were waiting for since verse 7 to happen. But it takes all this time, John showing us ourselves and the world around us, because he wants us to be able to consider how it goes and who we are and our own lives in this way. A man who said at the beginning, the man Jesus, and then it became the prophet, and then Jesus finally was his Lord. And that is what happened in our lives, friends. We see and we hear about Jesus. We don't know who he is. Someone may bring him up and you think of his, maybe he's just a prophet. Maybe he was a good man who lives here on this earth. But this story here in our Bible tells us that Jesus is much more. And it is the Lord of Jesus who lives in our lives. Is he the Lord of our lives? Is he the Lord of our lives? Or is he merely a man? Is he merely a prophet? Is he someone who is good? No, he's the Lord. He's the Messiah. He's the one who came to free us from our sins. And the Pharisees didn't see it. They didn't know because of their pride. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." On the outline in your bulletin today, I have some things written down here. At the end of the first page, where at the top it says John 9. These two things, I want you to pay attention to just for a moment. Those who do not see may see. The man who was blind was humbled by his healing and was made to see by Jesus. The man who was blind was humbled by his healing and was made to see by Jesus. Those who do not see may become blind. The Pharisees thought they could see, but were really blind. And their prideful sin caused them to reject the light of Jesus Christ. Turn over the page. Let's go through these thoughts together. The blind man witnessed to others about Jesus healing him and recognized his deity. Over and over again, he was asked who it was, and he told them who it was, and he told them that it was a man from God. Even in the face of adversity, he stood for the truth. He was transformed over time from calling Jesus the man to the prophet and to finding his Lord. The Pharisees were prideful, and they looked for any way possible to talk others out of the fact that the man was healed and that Jesus had done it. You think about it, right? They were standing on legalism in the worst degree to reject not only that someone had his eyes open like that, but to blame the person that had done it because he had broken the Sabbath. It doesn't make sense. And the man and his comments make that clear to us. And that's what God is saying to us. Open your eyes. Open your eyes and see. There isn't any doubt. I am here. I am at work. I can do great things in the lives of people. My life has come into the world. And so the question is, who is Jesus to you? A man? A prophet? Or is he the Lord of your life? Jesus would teach those who are prideful, who think they can see, to humble themselves and receive the healing of his life. Are you in need of his healing then? Believe in Jesus and worship him as the Lord of your life. He loves you and wants you to come to his life. Jesus would remind those who have already been healed by his life to serve as witnesses to his life. You are the light of the world. It says that in Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. You are my light. I shine through you. So that others will know about me. That's what Jesus says. No matter who we are, we fall into sin and pride. And so let us examine our hearts and repent of any pride that we have. And let the light of Jesus shine through us. And above all else, in the midst of all the darkness, remember the most important thing. Jesus healed a man blind from birth. And this is what was forgotten from the very beginning of this story. And it is the most important things like this that are forgotten in life. Why? Because we get too caught up in this world. I was at the hospital over at New Bridge, and we were talking, and we were sharing about melodies that we knew that we could just start to sing. You know, if I were to ask you what kind of a melody you have in your heart, what song can you remember if I were just to ask you to sing it? And a woman there said, "Jesus loves me." Right away, without any pause at all, she just said, "Jesus loves me this time." For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. How often do we sing it? How often do we reflect and think about that fact? How often do we live it? God would have us remind us today that there are things that we've forgotten, that He is the most important one in our lives, that we need to think about Him more often, every day. And these melodies, these thoughts, these verses, these things that we have inside of us are aching to come out, because the world is aching to hear them. We cannot afford to be silent. We cannot afford to be blind. We cannot afford to be people who are just saying to ourselves, we need to sing of the love of Jesus. And that's why I've been saying that we need to get the music going. That we need to get the CD going. Because I know that there are people that are going to hear that, and they are going to come into the light. Amen? They are going to come into the light of Jesus because they hear that someone loves them, that someone cares about their blindness, that someone wants to bring them into the light so that they can see. That is what life is about. And that is what God would have us know today. When we prideful, when we hear something, someone that says something that we don't like, do we hold it against them? Do we hold thoughts against God? We hold on to our own strength. That's pride. That God would have us let go. Let go of pride so that you can love. You can't love and have a prideful heart. You can try, but you won't. It's impossible. We need to be real like this man. How can anybody say that this man is anyone from God? When we see that, then let us act upon it. Give our lives the light that comes from Jesus Christ. Shall we? Let's encourage each other in that. Let's point out moments very carefully in each other's lives and go into places with each other so that we can get into each other's lives in a beautiful way, so that we can help one another to bring out the things that we need to keep in the front of us. If a person is blind, guide them gently back into the light. If a person is feeling arrogant or prideful about something and shows an attitude that is not right before God, you gently and lovingly urge them back into the light. We don't avoid it. We don't look the other way. We come together and say, brothers, sisters, let us love one another. For love is of God. Brothers, sisters, let us encourage the love to grow in our church. Right? So that the place that people come into from outside is not going to be filled with politics and all kinds of different things that have no place here at all. Right? Just like the Pharisees were holding on to things and making the place that Jesus said was a house of prayer into a place where things were sold. What we have in Grace Church is so precious. We need to tread carefully. We need to touch one another's lives with the love that God puts in our heart. We need to encourage and build up and not tear down. And that is awesome. That is awesome. And then when we are doing that, there's no fear. There's no fear like the parents who are afraid that if they say the truth about Jesus, that they're going to get kicked out of the church. And that's the world. Fear has no place in the church of Christ. Only courage and boldness to speak about love in Jesus. And the things that we need so desperately in our lives, and we know what happens when we leave here, then we feel like, I'm ready. I'm ready for this world. There's nothing that's going to happen outside these doors that is going to affect me in a ill way, because I have the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And I have the love of the brothers and sisters in my church, and I know if something goes wrong, I can go to Him, and I can go to them, and they're going to be there for me, and I'm going to be there with them, and then we're going to get through these things, and more than that, we're going to be victorious in these things, and nothing can happen to me. And that's all that John is talking about here. For this one man. And do you hear what happened? Exactly what Jesus promised happened. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And they were. The man was healed of his blindness, the physical ailment that he had since birth, and then Jesus came and he healed his spiritual blindness at the end and said, "Believe in me," and he did, and he worshiped him. And that's what it's all about. Amen?
Amen.
Let's praise God together. Let's sing a song and lift up our voices to him and remember these things that Jesus has taught us through this word.